Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. Welcome to this week's episode of the show, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson, thick in the throes of postpartum phase of life. At the time when this goes live, I will have just been transitioning out of the fourth trimester with my little boy, Ozzy. I'm so thrilled to be home with him for this time, and also so thrilled with my past self for having pre-recorded many, many episodes of this podcast for my short little mat leave. So now today I'm going to get into today's episode. I have returning guest Poppy of Low Stress Motherhood on the show once again. Now you can listen to her story as well as all the deets on her amazing peaceful pottying technique, which, by the way, I utilized with my daughter Kobe in June of this year with great success. On episode number 53 of the show called Peaceful Pottying, Putting More Focus on the Parents, you can go back and listen to that and learn a bit more about her and her background. But after almost a decade of working one-on-one with babies and toddlers in her home environment, feeding them breakfast, lunch, snacks, and dinners, this twin toddler mom, and as I mentioned, owner of a Montessori-style inspired daycare and preschool, and also licensed childcare provider, she has heaps to share about picky eating. She has been working with like 20 plus young people in her daycare and has learned a lot of tools and tricks through trial and error and also a lot of research, how to get picky eaters to eat more variety of food. So today on the episode, we're going to go over six food exposure activities that you can get involved with your toddler to help them, you know, be open to trying new foods. We talk about what food chaining is, and she also shares about her transforming picky eaters 4-week plan. So you're going to want to listen in for that as well. So here we go. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Poppy. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Okay, Poppy, I'm so happy to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
So we had you on earlier this year and we were talking all about your peaceful potty training program, which is amazing. And here today, we're going to talk a little bit more about feeding our toddlers and toddler picky eating and all of this stuff that, you know, I'm personally going through. And I know a lot of other, you know, moms out there, fathers out there, parents out there, move through this as well. And so can you just refresh anyone that maybe didn't catch the last episode, a little bit about you, what you're doing in the world, and how you have been doing this kind of work with, you know, a 25 toddlers, and what that's all about.
I'm counting, right? Yes. So my name is Poppy. I own a Montessori-inspired daycare and preschool just outside of San Francisco, where I live with my twin toddler girls and my husband and our two little Bichons. Here at the Ellie House, we have all picky toddlers. That is the name of my daycare and preschool. But it's interesting. I think parents would find it interesting to know that every single toddler that I've worked with has been labeled by their parents a picky eater. I've worked with, let me think now, four or five that have not been picky eaters. Their parents wouldn't call them picky eaters. When they sit down and they have their meals here with me, they're not picky eaters. And those toddlers were babies that were started on baby led weaning.
Uh-huh.
So yes. So I personally, I find that significant and amazing. And it's also something that I think a lot of people would find surprising. Now, if you have a picky toddler and you didn't do baby led weaning, no worries. I mean, it's very common to have a picky toddler. There's so many factors about why and you know, what makes a toddler picky. It's very normal. And there are a lot of ways, I think very simple ways, that you can change course and change those habits. And that's what I do here with the work that I do offline. And then also with the work that I do on my website, lowstressmotherhood.com. I talk a lot about picky eating and what we can do to work with our toddlers to change those habits.
Yeah. And I want to just say too, the one thing I love about the way that you work with toddlers is you do spend a lot of time focusing on the parents' part in it. And as you were just talking about parent labeled picky eaters, like the parents call these kids picky eaters, you know, that definition is probably different for every parent as well. Like what constitutes their child being picky, right?
Yeah, definitely so. Like only eating certain foods or refusing new foods, even though I'm like, sometimes they eat a variety. I've worked with toddlers that have been severe where they would only eat the same meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, and then would like gag at even the sight or smell of unusual foods. That's very severe. Something that obviously they would work with their doctor on. But again, I've worked with them and we have seen great change in about a month's time, just by doing, again, some very simple and then slow and steady things to get them more comfortable with variety and change from being fearful and refusing foods to being adventurous, curious, and, you know, more excited, like we adults are, right? I don't know. Food is love. So it's like, How can we show our toddlers that in a fun way and in a way that's going to allow us parents to like have less mealtime struggles and dread it less and like hate it less. A lot of parents would like really hate mealtime for that reason. They're like, oh, hopefully the stage, you know, passes. And sometimes it does. And I remember my last assistant right before lockdown, she was like, I was picky until I was probably 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And so she found it. She's like, I love the work when she was working here. She's like, I love the work that we do because I love to see kids eating these different foods. She's like, I would never have touched a pea. I would never have touched asparagus. And she's like, and now I'm feeding these children asparagus and I'm feeding them zoodles and they're like loving it. And she, so it was cool to see from that angle too. I was like, oh, really? Cause like, I don't know, as an adult, you know, she's like, oh yeah, I was severely picky. And she's like, even until I was 20, I ate my first salad. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Wow. Well, and that's what we do. A lot of the time we equate picky eating, meaning they're not eating quote unquote healthy foods, right? That's I think what a lot of true. Parents, you know, I joke, I'm a holistic plant-based chef and I specialize in raw vegan cuisine and my daughter hates vegetables. So I'm like, how did that happen? You know?
No, you're like, okay, you won't be in any of like the selling points for mommies, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I know. How does it happen? But it's true. Like with the parents, you know, it depends on what it is. Most common fruit, a lot of children love fruit. And then they won't eat their veggies. Another sensitive one for toddlers is meat, different meats, like textures freak them out. The look, what is that? They just don't want anything to do with meat except maybe some deli meats. That can be very common. And then the look of foods too, like if you're serving a curry, you know, some kids might be like, oh my gosh, versus a mac and cheese. So there are gradual ways that you can move from working off of what your toddler already loves to getting them to trying things that if you just placed it in front of them, they wouldn't try. And so a lot of parents that I talk to here, like I said, most of the toddlers are picky and I make it a focus while they're with me. They're with me a lot through the day. We spend 10 to 12 hours, Monday through Friday. And I'm like, I see the stress, you know, I see the worry for parents they're with me so much. Like, they're with me for an hour or once every month. I'm like, they're with me a lot. And if I can help move everybody to a more comfortable, low stress, like more enjoyable place at mealtimes, that means so much to me. And so I knew early on when I opened my daycare here that I was like, this is something that is a constant struggle that I'm not just going to continue on. Like, I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to try different things. I'm going to read about it. I'm going to understand that, you know, child psychology a little bit more and the whole eating dynamic, so I can help families with this. Cause it's just important to as much joy as we can have, you know, and toddlerhood is already so hard. It's already so taxing and exhausting. So I think when we can enjoy meal times more, it really, it's a big point in a family life.
Yeah. And so what you have created with all of this experience that you have and study that you've done is you've created a program called Transforming Picky Eaters, a 4-week plan, which we'll talk more about in a second. What I would love for you to touch on, just for some solid takeaway for the listeners today, are some of the food exposure activities that you share about, and because these are things that we could start, you know, getting our picky eater to try eating new foods. So what are some of these activities that parents can start doing more?
So I'll go over a few, and I want to first share the most powerful thing that I've ever done with the picky eaters that I work with is including stories, books about regular with pictures of regular food into story time, and bringing food props that match the book with me sitting on the floor at story time. This is one of the most powerful, and everything that I'm going to share, it sounds very simple and it sounds just like, okay, you know, but it is so, so powerful. And when we consistently do it, and we do it in a way that's chill, no pressure, we're hanging out, right? But there's no pressure when we sit down to play blocks with our kids. We're not like, get the tower right. You know what I mean? Like, we're not pressuring them. And we want to keep that mindset when we're sitting down to play a food-focused activity, is what I call it. We don't want any of that pressure. We want to do the same kind of playful approach that we do with regular play. There's no pressure. We're not like, do this, do that. And so when we do food-focused activities, we want to do the same thing. But the most powerful is to have books about food, ideally with pictures of real food, because that's intriguing for kids instead of all the cartoon ones that we see, which can be fine as well. There's a few that I recommend on the blog that have been really beneficial about like the farmers markets and things for kids. But then having those food props is what I call it. Just a bowl, just a mixing bowl of zucchini, squash, just in their whole form, and set it out. Set one, you know, maybe set one here and there, and then just read the book. And what do kids like to do? They like to grab and explore, and what is this, and play with it and futz around with it. That's what happens during story time. And not once, not twice, we make this a part of our routine. It really normalizes the foods. It exposes them in a fun way. Kids love story time. It's one of their like favorite beloved times. And so if we can infuse these scary, new, weird foods to a time that they love, there's that positive association and they're going to feel so comfortable. They're going to be grabbing at it. They're going to be doing it. And you're not even talking, oh, good job grabbing it. No, like we don't even talk about it. We don't say anything. We just let them do what they're going to do. There's no pressure. You know, there's nothing coming from mom. We're just doing our thing. A couple other food-focused activities that are really fun are spiralizing zucchini. A lot of kids love to do that. So this doesn't have to be food prep in the kitchen. I know a lot of parents get like stressed out. They're like, oh, it's going to be a mess, or it's going to be harder. I just want to get the meal made. I don't necessarily have time through the week. That's fine. You know, you can into your playtime infuse these activities, and it can be at their play table or in their playroom. Spiralizing, so getting a little spiralizer and letting your toddler do the zucchini or do the carrot. That is so fun for them. They love it. They love to see the noodle coming out, you know. They love to rip at the noodles and really just let them do their thing with it. A lot of the times, the last picky toddler that I was working with, literally the first time we sat down for a food activity was chomping on a raw zucchini. And I'm like, oh, but so picky. And here's the thing. I had placed, I always serve a new food on their plate. So serving a new food, and we hear it a lot, like keep serving, you got to serve it 20, 30, 40. We hear that, but a lot of the times you'll have parents who are like, I've been serving it like 30 times a week and nothing's changed, because there's more to it. There's more to just serving that food. There's the dynamic and the pressure at the dinner table, right? There's the food fear, like what the heck is that? And they might not, they take it off their plate, they push it away, or they cry and then mom takes it off. There's so many things that it's too diluted to just say, put it on their plate. It's not enough support for us to understand, okay, well, how do we've done that, what else can we do? And so these food activities will really, really help. Away from the dinner table. Forget everything at the dinner table right now. So okay. Spiralizing, I think just cleaning. Kids really, really love cleaning. We'll order food that gets delivered to the house. You know, obviously I don't go shopping with all the children that I work with, but we'll get stuff, you know, produce box delivered. And I let them grab the whole, open the box, stack stuff on the counter. Okay, grab bowls, fill them with water. They go into the bathroom and they fill it with water. We get little scrub brushes. And then we scrub them. We scrub the carrots. We rip the tops off. I'm trying to think of what else we do with other veggies. Yeah, scrubbing, like scrubbing the potatoes. They love doing this thing, these types of things. And these can all be, they don't have to be foods that they even love. These can just be all scary foods, right? Celery, they can rinse those and break them all apart, rip them up, have them stack them up. Kids really, really enjoy doing that as well. Snapping the asparagus. So cleaning produce is a great one. And then, doing like a sorting, more of an organized game, which is like a sorting game. You can take the same idea. You can take a whole bundle of produce that you might've gotten together at the store and have them maybe just put out four different construction paper colors. You've got green, maybe orange, yellow, and then red, and have them sort, you know. Where's the red one? Put it on the red paper. I see the green one. I'm going to put it on the green paper and do it together. Do it together. Just having fun playing this game together. Not talking about biting, tasting, none of that. We want to first get them comfortable and get them touching. Comfortable and curious than touching, because touching is one step closer to accepting and tasting foods. And like I said, the last pick, I honestly couldn't believe it because it's the first time. But boom, like, and then just kept gnawing on this zucchini. And I'm like, it's okay that it's a raw zucchini. I was like, I had to remember. And I'm like, I think we're good. I think we're good. It's not a cucumber. Oh my goodness. But the whole thing, I'm like, okay, honey, like, let's wrap it up here. But yeah, she ate so much of that thing. And it was playful. It was fun. And she was in the moment of this is fun. I'm free. And then, you know, boom, she took a bite and it wasn't terrible, or you know, she kept biting it. And if it was bad, I remember there was a little boy who took a bite of celery. And again, this little boy, he was a gagger. He was a gagger. He was, you know, they were working with his doctor on maybe progressing to feeding therapy. And the mom was very worried. So we started doing a lot of food activities, a lot of reading, all these things daily. It was part of our routine. And I remember the first time he grabbed the celery and he took a bite of it. He was like, oh, and I didn't say anything like, oh, it's healthy. Like none of this. It's literally just to play and explore. But I remember his face. He's like, oh, this is nasty. And I was just laughing and he spit it out. He kept playing and he took like three or four more bites of that celery on his own. And he was just like, okay, what is this? I was curious. I took a bite. Well, it's crunchy. It's disgusting. But then he took a couple more bites. And then boom, within about a month, he would eat celery dipped in ranch dressing. Wow. And I just, anyway, it was, I just remember that. And I didn't comment like, oh no, it's good for you. Or, oh, any of this. When he said that, I was like, okay, yeah, celery. Nobody, I mean, I'm like, you know, most people wouldn't just chomp on it. Just, so I'm like, that's fair and fine. But boom, he kept taking bites through our game. And then with over the course of us doing these things and me continuing to serve at the table, he tells me, oh, celery today. He's like, make sure you give me the white dip. Like just,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Power of exposure, right?
Definitely. And exposure without pressure, uh-huh. Exposure, you know, in a playful togetherness type of way, not I'm going to put this down and watch you. Okay. What are you going to do with it? You know, because a lot of the time as parents, we're anxious, we're worried about their nutrition. We really want them to do something or try something or behave a certain way. We have to allow ourselves to release that expectation, just like with potty training, release that expectation. Just let them be nervous. Let them say it's disgusting. Let them do those things, but then continue to experience on their own, because they will. But once we intervene and we're like, oh no, but it's healthy for you. You need to eat it. You know, you please do this. It's just like, then there's that pressure. They start to get uncomfortable again. They clam up and it's like, you know, so it can be difficult. As simple as some of these steps, there's a lot of us awareness that we have to have so we can truly allow our child to fully just be and discover and get comfortable and decide for themselves, right? Like, yeah, this is, I like this. This is fine. I'm comfortable with this. Oh, I don't like it. I'm safe to say I don't like it and not eat it. Nobody's telling, you know, there's that awareness we need to have as parents so that growth for them can happen.
Yeah. So, so important. Now, there's a lot of people listening, including myself, that have, you know, 2.5-year-old, 3, 4.5-year-olds that refuse to, like, my gosh, my daughter won't even eat Kraft dinner. She won't eat spaghetti. She won't eat ranch dressing. Like, she doesn't want any of that stuff. The go-tos that I'm like, normal toddlers would just eat this. My kid doesn't want any of it. She loves fruit.
Right. Oh.
She loves, you know, she's very particular. We don't need to address my daughter individually here today, but what you have this amazing program called Transforming Picky Eaters, a 4-week plan. I'm going to be signing up for that myself. But what's another takeaway that you could offer up for anyone listening that, you know, has a child like mine, for example? You know, what's an action step we can take to try to encourage more variety?
I think that making, I don't know, it's hard to say, right? Like, if parents are already doing something, one thing that is a big part of my program, and it's completely free, by the way, and it's, I have the Transforming, the 4-week plan, and I put it into an email challenge called the Picky Toddler Challenge. It's a 4-week program. So every week you get the food activities, you get the mindset and everything, and it's completely free. So on the website or on my Instagram. But a key piece of it is giving them more power, choice, involvement in the kitchen. And I know a lot of parents, they're like, oh, I let him do this and that already. I think making that a regular part of your routine. And one thing or one great example of it is having a cabinet or a drawer in your kitchen that has all of their stuff they can get themselves, whether they still wear a bib, get their own plate, their own cup, their own utensils. Give them that power instead of like you getting everything for them. Have them be involved, like a part of mealtime rather than something happening to them. They're part of it. Okay. That to me is so, so important. And it's, the kids love it. They love it, love it, love it. My own, the kids that I take care of, I mean, they really look forward to it. Do I want to choose yellow? Do I want a spoon today? A spoon won't really work for the chicken. I don't care. I want a spoon. Then get a spoon, you know, just like letting them do. And then having them part of meal prep. And it can be so simple. You can say you're in charge of snapping all the bottoms of the asparagus. You know, it doesn't have to be like, okay, you have to be at the stove and oh my gosh, this is overwhelming, but a regular part of getting them involved in meal prep, having them rinse off all the broccoli. One little girl that I was working with would not even touch, like would scream and cry and hated it, would ask me to take it off of her plate when she first came to me. We started doing meal prep together. Okay. I was like, you're in charge. You're in charge of getting everyone's veggies together. Okay. She's in charge today. And she would get the pot. She'd go fill it up with water. She got the scrubber, you know, and then she'd get the broccoli out. Like, she knew she was in charge for everyone. Okay. I got to take care of everybody. And I knew with her personality, she was very much that way. Cause she would always, where's your shoes? Where's this? Oh, I got it. I know where it is. Like, she loved taking care of people. So I always would put her in charge and I would say, okay, you're in charge of taking care of all of this for everybody. And she would scrub. And guess what would happen when she was scrubbing? She'd like drink a little bit of the water off the broccoli. She'd like snap a little bit, like lick her finger, you know, taste it. Over time, there was never pressure in the kitchen. Like, here, taste this. I think that's one thing, again, the awareness we need to be aware of. I see it with grandparents a lot, you know, in my own circle and in my own life. where it's like, here, eat this, try this. It's healthy. Here, it's yummy. You're going to like it. When we pair that with all these other efforts that we're making to overcome picky eating, it like negates it. Right. It like keeps us stagnant. We have to let that go for now and know and trust that we will see change without saying that, without doing that. It really doesn't work. Has it worked up until now? No. You know, so if it hasn't worked, if it is working for you and you know, you're like, it works for me, then it works. There's no reason to do anything differently. I found that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I hear it. I see, like I said, family members are like, it's healthy. It's yummy. It's like when we say it's yummy, that's our opinion, right? When we say, try it. We're pressuring and we're forcing. Excuse me. Like, I know my husband's like, here, try this. I'm not like, ooh, what is it? I'm like, excuse me. You know? So it's like,
get that in my face.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want it. So it's the same thing. It's like, they're just humans, you know, and we have to just be, I think, those key things together. So include them in that process, do those food activities, do the story time, normalizing real foods, but also make sure at the table that you are prioritizing this as a chill, calm, not talking about yummy, yucky, taking bites space. This is a place for us to be like, oh, what did you do today? Did you get to do water play today at school? No, water play was such a sunny day. What was your favorite thing about school? Tell me. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. You know, we talk about all the time. We sit at the table here. We look out the window and we talk about the squirrels. That's like literally what I do with every picky toddler. I'm like, oh, look at a squirrel. Look at that crazy squirrel running up the tree. Look at that big bushy tail. He's grabbing a nut. Like, that's what I do. And I was like, don't forget we're eating lunch, but let's look at the squirrels. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, we have to keep that calm because what we're doing is we're making it comfortable and enjoyable. You know, when was the last time you were at like a dinner party and it was fun and happy and comfortable? Or then maybe you were at like a work dinner and you're like, this is very uncomfortable. I do not feel good. I want to get out of here. So it's like the same thing for our toddlers. If they don't feel good, they feel uncomfortable or pressured, they're going to clam up and just sit there. But if they feel good, if they're laughing, if you guys are talking about some family trip you're looking forward to or something funny that somebody did, now we're like, we're feeling good. And then outside, you know, away from the table, we're exposing foods, we're normalizing foods, we're having them grab foods and touch them and clean them. All these things add up to a huge transformation in their food acceptance and enjoyment.
Ah, amazing. So, so good. There's so much more that I would love to talk to you about, but we've run out of time here today. So much valuable information. I have to say, my daughter does eat broccoli. That's like awesome. The one win that I have. I just said to my mom this week, I'm like, I'm glad she eats broccoli and blueberries, like two of the healthiest things she could eat. Yeah. So if she doesn't eat anything else right now, I'm A-okay with it.
Yes. Before we go, I want to say fruit has a lot of the same nutrients as veggies. So moms and dads, like if you're stressing and you're worried, serve the fruit. It's great. It has a lot of the nutrients. We don't have to stress, you know, we can try and make changes, but fruit still have a lot of that nutrient dense that we're looking for from veggies. So definitely try and focus on that and not just stress like, oh my goodness. And then with what you were saying about broccoli, I highly recommend you go on the blog and check out my post on food chaining.
Yes.
Because you can go from broccoli to other green foods. You can expand and there's a way that you can gradually do that to try and open her up to new foods.
Amazing. Thank you. And thank you for touching on food chaining. That was another whole area I wanted to get into today.
I know we could talk about that for a long time, but yes, just check it out and then kind of get an idea for it. And you can see it all on the blog.
Amazing. So let everyone know who's listening, where they can find you for more information, how they can sign up for the free Transforming Picky Eaters program, mm-hmm. all of that.
Yes. So lowstressmotherhood.com is my blog. That is my goal, to help as many moms as I can have more low stress moments in their early motherhood. So lowstressmotherhood.com. And then I'm on Instagram. Low Stress Motherhood is my handle. And right in my blog link, excuse me, my bio link, you can sign up for the Picky Toddler Challenge. It's a 4-week free email challenge. And it goes week by week. I walk you through how you can transform your child in a month.
So, so good. Poppy Dunk, thank you so, so much for being on the show again today.
Thank you, Megan. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at Fertile at 40 Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.